is Davin's Den.
Is Davin's Den.
Back, Kevin Lee is joining Joe and I in tonight.
I mean, you need to get some black bands on this thing too, man.
We have them.
Yeah,
we have them.
Okay. I'm gonna hear white bands, man.
I play rap and play everything.
I'm gonna call Al Sharpton up, man.
That was Deuce. I'll play something from KHB. That's dance music.
Yeah.
I gotta dance for you guys.
Play a lot of it, dude.
Fucking come up with a single. I'll play it, Steve. But don't bust my balls. I play everything.
I'm gonna do a rap next time I come back. I wanna hear it.
You do a rap.
Freestyle it, man.
Why you gotta like paint shit like it's all racist and shit?
Just never hear any black bands on this thing.
How often are you here? Not that often, so shut the fuck up.
It actually is. More so.
It's been a while, man. You see me.
The only time anything's preordained.
I enjoy being here.
Despite the racism that is in our music. Plenty of black
it's a suggestion.
Shit.
There's plenty of black shit. Well, that's a nice way to diffuse it.
Yeah. You got a black guest. You got a black bitch
and
guest.
Our guest.
Oh, for fuck's sake. The music isn't segregated. Knock it off. I'm not going to fucking entertain this fake bullshit.
This is
trying to create waves. What are you, Jason Whitlock? knock it off. All right. So Joe and I just came back from tour of Indiana and Kentucky. Joe has never done either of those states. I've done them a plenty. I like the states. I like to fly over.
That's Trump country, Joe.
It is Trump country.
Yeah.
All right, man.
Yeah.
So we did the first show on Tuesday night. That was a good show Tuesday night.
It was a fun show. The crowd, a little smallest crowd, but very nice. And that's, a lot of times you have a whole bunch of people you wish would go to hell. But we had a nice crowd. They were into it. We had a fun time. Beautiful place. Smokestack.
Brew house.
So,
interesting thing. Well, first of all, I now have to eat healthy, Kevin, because
good.
I have high cholesterol. So I'm eating salads like a motherfucker, which will play into other shit.
Beautiful.
Later on. But I got a salad there. So here's an interesting. So there is a local comic who did not perform on our show, but is usually the host. He has no arms or legs.
He has no arms and legs.
He has no arms and legs.
How the hell he get on stage?
I don't know. He didn't perform. Maybe a crane. I don't fucking know.
This is not stand up comedy. If he has no legs to stand on.
Well, Dennis wasn't standing up either at the end. He was sitting down. It's, a sit down comedy, whatever the fuck it is. So,
Dennis actually rolled on stage last time I worked with him.
No, I'm right. So I, for lack of a better word, I shook his stump.
No, you fist bumped the stump.
Oh, no, that was the second time.
Oh.
First time I shook the stump.
Yeah.
Second time I fist bumped the stump. What do you do in that situation?
Wait a minute. You said he wasn't there.
No, he wasn't performing, but he was there.
He hung out.
He hung out.
He was there.
He's usually
the latter end of
you
the show.
You fist bumped his
there.
Stump?
After I shook his stump another time.
Well, you should have got a selfie of it.
No, why? Gonna be exploit? Well, that's exploitive. Why? I don't take pictures every time I fist bump or hug somebody.
Man, you're a comic. You're supposed to take a picture of that. You don't let that opportunity go. You know, I'd have took a picture.
Yeah, because
it'd have been on Facebook.
You can't get enough of pictures.
Oh. Well. You let a comic with no arms and legs. How many guys you gonna meet with no arms and legs?
I don't want to fucking exploit this guy. Now I find out one of the big thing of his act is he flops around on stage like the fish at the end of the Faith No More video.
So he's exploited himself for laughs, right?
Right, but I'm not going to exploit him.
And he drops the mic when he's done because
Stevie
can't
Wonder
hold
makes
it.
Jokes of himself, and this guy makes jokes of himself, obviously. So you're
right,
not exploiting him.
But yeah, yes, it is. If I'm making fun of him, first of all, I didn't think. Well, this would be a great fucking Facebook picture. I didn't think that. But would you? So you would have shaken his hand or his
I'd have fist bumped him, and it would have been the best selfie on the planet. I'd have got
all right. So you're thinking
500 hits on Facebook.
You're thinking about what can it do for you?
Basically,
all right.
I'm not gonna let this guy go by, and that's like let's say he's an audience member.
But he's not.
And I'm just saying, if he's an audience member,
I'm gonna tear into his
ass. And he's in the front row of my. You think I'm gonna ignore that he's sitting there with no arms and legs?
It's one thing to take a pick.
If I don't pick on him, he's going to feel like.
I understand that, but you don't have to fucking take a pick. Why would you? You don't. When you shake somebody else's hand or fist bump, you don't take a picture. You and I shake hands. There's not a fucking picture. Hey, look, black and white. You don't fucking do that shit. We're just shaking hands. We're greeting each other.
Are you talking to me? I'd take a selfie with a black bear if I could.
You better start watching yourself, my friend. You better cut down on some of them selfies. Or there's going to be a black bear in your ass. You might want to slow down with your following.
Hey, as Eddie Murphy once said, I don't know if this is a good example, but Eddie said,
"The alimony check goes to you, sir.
If women love you, you're going to go to the top."
Yeah, you're going to be like Eddie Murphy and banging a transvestite hook because you don't watch yourself.
Allegedly.
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 So, Joe, how did you feel about the situation?
I was feeling a little weirded out. See, here's the way it worked out. See, when you are in the middle act and you get done and, you know, you have the headliner that does really well, nobody could care less about you. And they could care less.
It is true.
So it is.
I always care.
So basically, you know, Davin was talking to all these people. Hey, you were a great guy. Yeah. And he was talking with the guy. So,
no. Say the compliments. Don't yada yada the compliments. No, that's the best part of the story.
Oh, you're funny. You're this, that, and the other. Holla.
Don't you hate when they say, and you were good too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You knew where the restroom was.
or what do you do? What else do you do?
Adulation. Here's more adulation for you. Adulation. So, you know, and as the middle, you just stand like a lummox. But it was handy, did it? Because I was weirded out by this guy. I guess it's the wrong way to be. So I just hid behind him. How's it going, Chief? You know?
He felt uncomfortable to shake the stump.
He didn't offer the stump. I didn't put myself in a situation where I would
You were
have
using
to be,
me as a human shield.
Yeah, I was.
Which I was unaware of.
Yeah, I was, yeah.
How was the weather? Was it cold or warm there? I'm asking for a reason.
It was nice Tuesday.
So he wasn't wearing a long sleeve shirt. So he didn't wear a long sleeve shirt.
No, the stump was exposed.
Yeah.
Oh, see, that's ridiculous. Now you got it. You can't ignore. If he's not going to wear long sleeve shirts, then he wants you to see the stump. If he wants you to see the stump.
Why should he be ashamed?
You don't have to be ashamed. Nobody wants to see your stump. Wants to see your stump? Look,
he's just living his best life, man.
His best life is a long sleeve shirt at this point. Nobody wants to see his stump.
Well, so you're uncomfortable if you, by it too.
I would be uncomfortable seeing his
I
stump.
I
wouldn't fist bump the stump, by the way. I'll take a selfie with him, but I'm not. I'll put my arm around and take not fist bumping the stump.
And Davin was like, you know, like, well, were you afraid? I go, yeah. Well, you know, it's wrong. It's my thing.
Listen, here's the thing.
And I'm not saying
wrong,
it was right.
I get it. You know, it's wrong, but I get it.
I mean, look, if he put his stump out, I would have bumped it, okay? But he didn't, you know. But
stumps are you, Joe?
I kept myself
You're
back.
You're going to get in trouble, too.
What stump is it? Now?
I know. I used the
Joe is bumping stumps with another band.
Yeah, I used, you know, Davin, the table was there. He was sitting at the front of the table. Davin was getting adulation. Nobody could care less about me. I'm using him as a shield, and it's working for my benefit. You know?
All right. Listen.
I just hope he's not listening to Davin's radio now.
No, it's fine. But listen, you know why it's uncomfortable for me? Because it's different, because we're not that exposed to it. It's not like it's festering pus or anything. It's just like an arm without a hand at the end of it.
No, he has no arms and no legs.
Not
was he born this way, or is something that happened in an accident? No, we didn't get into that.
I don't know.
You know,
I wasn't going to interview him.
And the thing about it is like when you do the meet and greet after a show, people go, have a great night, thank you so much for coming. And you see the person in the wheelchair. I don't turn around and walk to the bar. I go, hey, how you doing? Did you have a great time? Yeah. You know, like, I will shake their hand. You know, some people are, you know, it's the shape of something.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you feel bad.
We've all had.
Did you have a great night? Yes. All right, great. Please come back. Here you go. You know, take a pic.
But those stairs are going to be a challenge.
But the guy with the stump, yeah. Like I said, it's not like, well, Joe always shies away from it. No, I always go to it. But in this situation, I don't weird it out, man.
So he wasn't on the show. He just
no, but he's a comic.
No, he was actually supposed to MC the show. And
so if he's MCing the show and he introduced you, would you have went out
yes.
and picked on him?
Yes. No, I wouldn't have picked on him.
No, I wouldn't pick on him.
I wouldn't pick on him. But however, like, you know when you do the shake when the acts cross?
Right.
I would have done the bump.
So both of you guys have seen me perform enough to know that I would pick on him.
Yeah.
I don't know if you would. I don't know, because you might feel uncomfortable too.
I picked on everybody. I picked on.
But he's a peer.
I had a black. Oh, he's a peer. Yeah.
How soon would you?
I had a blind guy in my audience, and I let him have it.
But that's different. This is a peer.
I'll ask you a question
though.
Fangs
into a peer.
Because once you get on stage, there's no character expansion yet. Would you do it immediately, or would you wait till they get know that your character, you're a friendly,
well,
talented
my famous
guy?
Opening is the. Yeah. The mic thing.
Kevin establishes how he hates white people right away.
Yeah.
He immediately gets the Lysol and wipes the mic down.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
so
the first thing he does.
That's my opener,
man. Yeah, because he's a racist. That's what that's about.
Well, I did that same opening on Martin Lawrence on HBO in 1992. So I don't think that's, it don't matter what color you are. You're going to get it, man. So
then the next day might have been one of the top five highlights in Joe Curry's life.
Yes.
So there is in town. 10 minutes away from where we were staying.
Yes.
A Studebaker Museum.
Oh.
And Joe really wanted to go. He was actually nice for a few hours. That's how badly you...
That museum, I've been wanting to go. I'm a car nut. And the Studebaker Museum, I like Studebaker. I love Studebakers. And I've always wanted to go to this museum. But for me, to get into a car, you know, just to go and drive to South Bend, Indiana,
yeah.
It's a long, you know,
you
maybe...
Wait a minute. You guys went to Indiana?
Yeah.
And you didn't stop by, you went to a Studebaker Museum, you didn't stop by 2300 Jackson Street where the Jacksons were?
We weren't in Gary, Indiana.
Okay.
No, Gary was probably about 70 miles,
and Joey, get off
70
my
miles
lawn.
North. But I saw Gary.
Not
where
you.
Gary was, oh.
Yeah. Joe Jackson.
Oh, Gary, yeah. Gary, yeah.
So you have a daughter.
Yes, I have a daughter.
Do you remember when she was like a young girl, when she got so excited about something she didn't know what to do with herself?
Yes.
Joe was in the parking lot of the Studebaker Museum before we went in, flapping his hands like he didn't know what to do.
Oh,
and you know
Joe.
What?
I could, you know, relax. No. He's right.
You're like a girl at a Bon Jovi concert in the 80s, huh?
She would have said, chill out,
I've seen Make-A-Wish kids that were more laid back than Joe.
This museum I've been wanting to go to for 10 years. Recently, they had a museum expose in one of my classic car magazines with the museum in it. And I'm like, I go, God, I'd love to go. When am I ever going to get here? I'm looking at the map. Now, we were in Mishawaka. Okay. I don't know Indiana. I don't know where Mishawaka is compared to South Bend. I'm looking. I'm like, South Bend, a little bit far. It turns out South Bend is the next town over. At the gig last Tuesday, I asked somebody, I go, excuse me, where's the Studebaker Museum? Would you know? Yeah. It's 10 minutes over there. I'm like,
boner.
I will never, ever, ever get this chance again. If I do, it's going to be years.
Because apparently the interstate will fucking fold into the
because
thing.
It's a 13-hour ride.
And it's you know, like
it's
a
13-hour ride. I'm never going to. And I told I go, we're going to the museum tomorrow. Well, we got to see what. No, we're not. We're going to the museum.
No, you didn't say it like you asked.
Yeah,
you asked. Don't pretend to be fucking manly now. You asked and you promised you would be nice.
No, I did not ask. I groveled.
Okay.
It's like my chance to plead my case. I know I'm in this museum. I got to see. Please, we got to go.
You take pictures?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Dad, did you enjoy the museum?
Yeah, the museum was fine.
Okay.
I would not have gone to that museum without, first of all, I wouldn't have known about it without Joe. I would not, it's not something I would have done on my own, but it was, no, it was an interesting museum. I took pictures. It was nice to see Joe happy. It doesn't happen very often. He quickly forgot about, but nice was as the tour went on, but for a few hours he was you know, okay to hang out with.
Joe was very happy.
I was
ecstatic. I dropped a load of money in the gift shop.
Wow.
Joe dropped over 200 large in the gift shop.
See, I did the same thing when I went to I performed in upstate New York in a town where Lucille Ball was born. And I'm she was born in I can't think of the town right now, but they have her museum there.
Okay.
As a Lucille Ball Museum, and they have a lot of the things from the TV show are there, you know.
Right.
Did you flap your hands like a 12-year-old girl?
I was pretty excited to go in there and see. I'm a huge fan of the show.
No, it's nice when adults can lose themselves.
I just went in there and I was like, "Wow, here's the stuff, the sofa from the TV show that I've seen 1,000 times, and you know all the stuff with Desi Arnaz and all that stuff." And so it was pretty interesting, and I was super excited about it. Yeah. So I'll get you on that. Yeah,
I tell you when I got home, because usually
Jamestown, New York, by the way.
I usually when you get home, you go, "What did I do? I'm unpacking everything last night." You know, I'm like, I don't care. I buy all of this again. I don't give a shit.
So we did that. We made our way. To Logansport, Indiana. We did a theater there.
Very nice people. Very nice
people. Great people.
Sweet group of people. And
The best.
And the great thing about that is, you know, we met some new, you know,
I knew them. I had worked with them in Mishawaka, Indiana years ago at a club that was there.
But a very nice guy. And I technically wasn't supposed to be in the show.
I just didn't know what your spot was.
Oh, okay. So I was the MC. And the thing about it is, you know, sometimes you're working with people and how good they are. You don't know if they're going to work the light. Everything was professional. The first girl that went up, new comic guest, but she did fantastic. Did her time. Really cool. She was a super, you know, she's got an autistic son. She's working. She's doing this, which is admirable, which is really cool. And the other guys really, really did well. It was a fun show. It really was a fun show. And guys knew their time. You know, it's like, you know how it is. Like you're running shows, and they run the light, they go over, blah blah blah. So yeah, it was really enjoyable.
During this show, as I'm wont to do. So I have a joke where I make reference to Amy Schumer.
Okay.
And I actually had a girl in the front row Google who the fuck Amy Schumer was. I've never had somebody Google my references live in front of me.
Wow.
I mean, occasionally on this show, I'll say, "Hey, Pip, you know, can you Google that for me?"
See, Amy Schumer's not a household name.
No, but she is. But to actually Google it, and I explain,
how old is this girl?
20s?
Is she really a household name?
Yeah.
No. Look, Amy Schumer can walk into the nearest grocery store here and probably not get recognized.
If you're a comedy fan?
No, I'm talking about household name is when you, I'll give you a perfect example.
Kevin James comes to mind.
Eddie Murphy or anybody that name.
Eddie Murphy.
Let's use Dave Chappelle right now. Can Dave Chappelle walk into a shopping mall and not get recognized?
No.
Amy Schumer probably
can. Depending on the town, he might be the only black fella in there. So one black guy might be Dave Chappelle to those people.
I'm just saying, even if he's in a... I think Amy Schumer can walk through a shopping mall and nobody's going...
I do explain who she is.
Okay.
And then this was interesting also on the show. And it was a fun show. So I'm riffing as I'm wont to do. And I mentioned something. I don't know how I got into it. Because of the Chinese place across the street. I say spring roll. And a woman goes, no, egg roll. And then I have to explain to her the difference between egg rolls and spring rolls, which is not ever something I've had to do in the middle of my set before.
And the one thing that was interesting is he's done. He's doing, you know, he's giving out the you know, going over the swag and stuff like that. I'm running the show. I'm timing it. 1 minute left. 1 minute left. He's got. And he's done. And what happened?
So somebody lost their mind.
Yeah.
As often happens to me.
Oh, no. What happened?
No, nothing bad.
Okay.
It was just this woman was carrying on about something.
I think it was a guy.
About, Or a guy talking about something. And all you could hear is him laugh, you know, is him talking and me in the wings laughing my balls off because he had one minute.
One minute.
Just did it 50 minutes. He's got 1 minute. 1 minute. He's fucking done.
It just happens to me, though.
Hangover.
But, you know, you talk to the audience. You bring it upon yourself. But even when I don't talk to them, they shout out shit at me.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is. So Thursday night, we were in Louisville, Kentucky. Good club. Very small.
Very good club. Yeah.
It started with
what's the name of the club?
Caravan Comedy Club.
Okay, I heard about the Caravan.
It's been around forever.
Louisville, Kentucky. We know somebody famous there, right?
Yeah.
Muhammad Ali.
Muhammad Ali.
We're getting there.
So, very small show. Started with 5 people, ballooned to 6. That was our Thursday show.
Oh, wow.
But our friend, who's a comedian, Johnny Watson. You know Johnny Watson?
I know Johnny Watson, yes.
Yeah. So Johnny Watson moved there recently.
Really?
Got married like a couple of weeks ago.
How old is she? No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
So you do know Johnny.
I didn't get married at 12. I'm sorry if you listen, Johnny.
He probably is.
No, it's Louisville. Anything's possible. So you do know Johnny. So he moved. So it's Johnny. So there's a MC. Johnny's doing a guest spot. Joe's featuring. I'm headlining. You know, we're just having a fun time, you know, bullshitting, catching up, because I haven't seen him in years. And the three of us haven't shared a stage, and where we're all in the same place doing a show together in years. It's just that, because you know, as you go up the ranks with the people who you broke in with, you guys start being on the same level. So if you are working the same clubs, you're not going to be on the same
show. You're not working in the same club. Yeah. Right. So you don't get to work with each other anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm finishing up the set. I don't know. I think, and also like Johnny came downstairs. I don't know if Johnny shouted something to me. It wasn't Joe who shouted something because Joe's just minding his P's and Q's at this point. New boy in the club, he don't want to make any fucking waves. And you don't play first night in the club, you know.
But if I could add something to that, and he's right with that. But with Johnny there, we had such a good time in the green room, and we're talking about the old story. And the club guys are there, you know, like the club comics are there, listening to us to tell our stories. And the great thing about that is, new guy, never worked that town, never worked that club, have to appre- and you know that apprehension you have before you go on?
Yes.
Was gone because Davin and Johnny made me feel like we're hanging out in Jersey at one of the places you used to work. So it just turned into a fun night.
So I'm wrapping it up. And either Johnny said something to me or I said something to him. Next thing I know, we're fucking busting balls, the three of us, from the fucking stage, telling stories. Now, I got an audience, not a big one, and they were but in front of me, so I got to explain what the shit is. So I'm explaining to the audience what the New Jersey mic scene was 20 years ago, the cast of characters we dealt with. You know Bobby Gonzo?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Bobby Gonzo started me. First stage time was for Bobby Gonzo. My first year was under Bob. That's basically who I worked for. And then everybody got to know Bobby in that group. But, you know, he's a character.
Yes.
You know, he's got stories. True, not true. Whatever. He's got, you know, Bobby's got all sorts of stories. So he was very influential in that scene at the time.
In that scene.
And we all talk like this.
That's right.
Because that's his voice. So we're doing the voice. Doing and the I'm voice. Explaining and everything. And I go, and the arms came up. I go, do you guys ever watch vaudeville? You know the arms bit, of course.
Oh, yeah, the arms bit.
I go, yeah, you know, it's a vaudeville bit, but Bobby, you know, he said he invented it, as people do. So now I'm Johnny and Joe are egging me on to fucking act out the arms.
And the audience is with us. They want to be in Jersey.
They want to see the arms. Bit? Oh no! Yeah.
Now I have done the arms.
You had the arms in your act at one point.
No. Here's what happened. At one point, I had written an original arms piece. I was in Outer Banks.
Okay.
Outer Banks years ago, and I had written an original arms piece. I don't know what my intention was, but part of it had to do with pitching merch. Well, the fuck I was at it and everything. And the only reason it was ever brought to the stage is because the headliner, he knew I wrote it. He told me to do it on stage. Like, as I'm on stage, like, I'll do the arms. So I did it on stage that night, the original arms piece, many years ago. I've never done the arms on stage. But Johnny and Joe are egging me on, and the audience is into it. So it's like, fuck, I don't even remember Gonzo's version of the arms that well because I haven't seen it in a year or so. So I asked for a volunteer, so I get this woman. She's like, well, when I did it, it was the arms and the legs. I'm like, well, fucking slow down. When Bobby does it, there's two chicks. I'm not as big as Bobby, so we're going to do this version.
Right.
So I'm trying to explain what's going on here. And so I got her arms through my arms, as you want to do, because the arms bit is the audience member acts as your arm. So you're telling a story. So she's picking my nose, which is not part of the story, by the way.
Oh, that's funny, though.
But I'm trying to remember the thing, and I think I did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
I remember it, like, where you're acting out, like, oh, we're fighting, and I'm getting my ass kicked. Yeah. You know, I'm smoking, you know, like, oh, but can't reach it. You know, all sorts of nonsense shit that
the worst thing could happen to you is somebody could have filmed this and put it on YouTube.
Joe tried.
I missed most of the bet. I wanted to get my camera. Not to film, but just to get a picture of his
memento. Dad is doing the arm bit. No.
And it's good enough for Vic. It's good enough for me.
No, is Bob the original of it? Because I've seen, no, everybody tells me they're original.
No,
everybody
does. Vaudeville.
It's a vaudeville thing.
I know, but everybody says they're original.
I've seen guys, argue about
it. They've been around since. Yeah, I have friends that do it.
Yeah.
They do it very well.
And if there's somebody else that they get
Bobby does it very well.
Fat Doctor
does
it.
Bobby does it well. Vic does it well.
Gonzo's probably the best I've seen do it, but lots of people do it.
Right.
An
urban comedian that did Def Comedy Jam, Teddy Carpenter out of D.C. did it on Def Comedy Jam.
Should be shot.
Destroyed.
No, he should be shot for doing it on TV.
He did it on Def Comedy Jam, yeah.
He should be shot.
And the lady grabbed his junk.
Well, that's where you're supposed to end it. You're supposed to end it before they grab your junk.
No, she grabbed it. He let her grab it. And the crowd jumped to their feet, the Def Jam audience, and it blew him up.
To grab
and it blew him up, yeah. So he got a lot of work off of that.
Well,
yeah.
The way this one ends, so it ends up with us in the shower. So I'm washing my chest. Yeah. I'm washing my belly. And I'm washing my... And then she's supposed to go down and go, oh, thank you, good night. So that's what it is. I'm trying to remember that. I think I pulled it off.
You did.
She grab the...
I dismissed her before.
Oh, come on, Davin. Dismiss her after.
I
know you're married, man. I'm just saying.
Some of us like to keep relationships intact, my friend.
But the funny thing is, the comics, the club, the house comics there, by the time we got done, they were imitating Gonzo. I was saying at the club that night, I go, he's never performed here. I don't know if he ever will, but he's got a credit in the club. He might as well. Actually, this the club is a credit.
You know, it's
because he was there that weekend, all three nights.
It was like traveling back in time to a fucking diner where you're just sharing stories with other comics.
It was,
but the challenge was I had to keep the audience involved, which I think I did.
Right. You did.
You're not at a diner.
Like I was saying, though, you brought everybody in to like a diner gig or a show in 1997. You brought everybody in.
I'm glad you finally recognized it. Hope you're not taking that in the slave way.
That's funny.
So I wanted to check out, because I'd been there last time. Last time I was in Louisville. I went to go to the Muhammad Ali Museum, but it was closed because they had heavy flooding.
Okay.
Down there, and it's right on the river. So we checked it out. And it's cool. It really have you been?
I have not been.
I know you're an Ali fan.
It's on my bucket list, man.
I am a major Ali fan. So it was obviously there's the boxing.
Yes.
But it really focuses on his fight for injustice.
You see, Ali is not who Ali because of the boxing. I mean, yeah, the boxing is the vehicle.
The boxing gave him the platform.
The platform and the vehicle, but it is his injustice fights and his battle.
There was this month, like, they do different focuses on different things. I don't know if it's monthly or every year. I don't know what it is, but when we were there, it was on homeless women around the world, and they had these pictures.
Yeah.
And, they told their stories. It was very, very emotional.
I mean, when Ali passed away, what, it's been 3 years now, maybe four?
Is that much? No, because Trump was in office.
Was Trump in office? No, Trump was not in office.
Trump was in office.
I think Trump was running for...
No, I think Trump was in office, because I think he made
it
a big...
3 years ago?
I think he made it...
Can somebody Google that?
He respected Ali. He said he liked Ali and everything. He was one of the good ones. But no, he like. I think Trump was in office.
Okay, because I know... Okay, Maybe it's been so, 3 years.
So, now, Ali.
No, his funeral. I'm talking about his funeral, the national send-off that he received.
Yeah, no, that was when Trump was in office.
Okay.
Now Ali finished fighting in 81, was his last fight. So I never really saw him fight. Right. You know, I just knew him later years, but he wasn't, you know, obviously.
He didn't fight in 81. He got beat in 81. He should have retired way before that.
Right. So, like, I really missed Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, later on, you know, he's this guy with Parkinson's who everybody respects and everything. Right. But I missed it and everything. But for Joe, it was interesting. We were in the portion of the museum where it deals with Ali's fight not to go to Vietnam.
Yes.
He said, I don't have any quarrel with the yellow man.
Yeah.
You know, and
he basically said, Vietnamese man never called me a nigger.
Right.
Let's keep it real. Okay.
Right. Well, fine.
So why should I go fight them? They never called me a nigger.
Right.
Right.
And,
he probably got called a lot in Kentucky before he became Muhammad Ali.
He came back with his Olympic medal from the 68 Olympics. On one hand, they're giving him a parade. On the other hand, he can't eat at the fucking, you know, he can't eat at the same counter.
You notice that medal's not in the.
Because he lost it.
No, he didn't.
He said he lost it. That's what the museum said, he lost it. Doesn't know what he did. In the show.
He said. In a later interview, he threw it in the river.
Right, but then he said, you know, then it might may or may not
they
be
did,
true.
Yeah, they didn't know if that was true.
They were kind of fuzzy.
By the way, died June 3rd, 2016.
All right, so Trump was in office.
Okay.
Another thing Trump did. Damn you, Donald.
Knocked out Ali.
Knocked out Ali. I'm the greatest. Everybody knows it. So we're in this part where he's dealing with the Vietnam. And again, the Vietnam War is not something I really remember. But I'm looking at Joe, and Joe's like, you know, I really got to wrap my head around this.
Right.
Because I don't know how to make of it. So I'm like, okay, well, wrap your head around it. So let's talk about a Tuesday. So you were in that area for a long time.
Yeah, and here's the deal. I love Muhammad Ali.
Right.
Loved him. I was aware of Muhammad Ali.
Yes.
As a kid in the mid-70s. I'm sorry?
How old are you?
57.
Okay, so we're almost the same age.
Right.
So we're
talking 1974, 75, when, you know, the whole thing with Cosell and stuff like that. Also, when those fights, there was no internet. Those fights were major events. Everybody watched it. You know, to me, you know, Ali, you know, was a fan. And as I got to, learn, you know, more about him in the coming years, you know, he did not go to the Vietnam War. And, you know, he converted to, you know, being a Muslim and stuff like that. And I always wondered.
Muslim, as he said it. Muslim. I've never heard anybody say it like Muslim.
Muslim.
We say it Muslim, but he says it Muslim.
Muslim, yeah.
On the interviews when you hear him talk, which we saw obviously in the museum. Muslim.
You know why? Because that's how the Nation of Islam pronounces it. Yeah.
Really? Right.
Now, Muslims will say the Nation of Islam is not real. Is not real Islam.
Well, that's what they would say. Yeah, but the Nation of Islam pronounces it that way. That's
okay.
Why. Yeah.
All right. Okay. I did not know that.
Yeah. So,
I'm your token guest host. That's why you know this now.
You're my token everything, my friend. My token magician. My token prop act. Token black guy.
I'm black top.
That's fucking tremendous. Black top. You could play Vegas too with that name.
I need to be in Vegas, actually.
That's fucking awesome. Black top.
Write that down. Send it to the agency. Oh, hey, you gotta, the mortgage got to get paid. The mortgage got to get paid. The bank don't care. How they get the fucking
act,
money.
You go, you guys see a lot of props. I'm known as Black Top. Write that down. That's just like a little one-liner you could do for the folks. That's funny.
Okay, so back to Ali.
So basically, they have sections of the museum. Very great. Very good museum. And I'm in the one section where it went into the 60s and everything that went on in the 60s and him not going, not wanting to go to Vietnam and stuff like that. And Davin comes in and he goes, what are you doing? I go, I'm going to be downstairs. All right, give me a couple of minutes here. I just want to take a look at some stuff. And my takeaway on this is because I always said, I go, how would I have felt back then as I was learning about stuff? How would I have felt about that? Would that change how I felt about Muhammad Ali? And for the simple reason that during the 60s, with all the racial injustice, they're asking you to go to a war to fight, you know, to fight a perceived communist threat. I don't blame him at all for saying, you know what? I don't have rights here. I'm he went into Memphis. There was one time he's refused service. And you want me to go to war and risk my life for this?
Yeah, but then I like current Joe, I would imagine that coming up now. I could see current Joe. Yeah, but you're getting the protections. You know, you have more rights than you would have. Like, I could see current Joe making the argument that he should go.
But and half the reason is current Joe is sitting there learning about the situation
I'm saying if you were living in the moment.
In the moment,
I'm saying not with being able to look back, but if you were living in the moment, I don't know if current Joe would have that type of empathy, because there's been other times.
Current Joe had to sit there and go through everything there and make up, you know, and look at everything.
So you walked in his shoes, basically, mentally?
Yeah, a lot of it. Okay. You walked in his shoes and you felt the injustice. And for the simple fact, you're not an American. No, the civil rights was a total injustice back then. You know, the kids can't go into school. They had to have the National Guard bring schools in. He was refused service. There was a lot of there. So for them to turn around and go, you have to go to war for your country. Really? Look at how the country's treating me.
A lot of black men died in Vietnam.
But that happened to African-Americans, soldiers before Ali didn't go, African-American soldiers would
fight, go. The Revolutionary War been
and
fighting.
Fight in wars and come back
Civil
to.
Civil War they fought. I think they even fought for the Confederacy.
But even the ones who weren't killed in Vietnam came home and still couldn't drink out the same water fountains. Or actually, were treated different than the white soldiers that they fought next to. You know,
yeah,
that's an American tradition too.
Yeah,
I mean it probably was black soldiers that saved white soldiers' asses over there, and then they get off the plane in America, and you can't drink out the same water fountain.
I'm sure the Tuskegee Airmen dealt with that. I mean, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, yeah, Ali was an amazing guy, man. I mean, for him in the prime of his career, back in those days, the money he was making to say. Mm-hmm. To sacrifice all of that. No athlete would do that now.
He lost his title. He's not getting no more matches.
It cost him millions of dollars back in the day when millions of dollars was big money.
Yeah. You know? For your conviction. Also,
But he meant it. I mean, he actually believed in that he would rather, you know, not make money or die for his cause. I mean, most people would never do that. I don't know how many athletes were actually. I mean, Jim Brown, back in those days, did that. I mean, he sacrificed a lot. I mean, he lost a lot. Jim Brown lost a lot because he had white girlfriends more than some of the stances he took. I mean, there were people that did. He was having an affair, I think, with Raquel Welch. I gotta check it.
Did Jackie Robinson ever serve in the military?
I'm not quite sure.
And the reason
Google machine in front of you.
Yeah. Yeah. And the reason I'm asking is because basically I read an article when Jackie Robinson started to play in the majors. Booed. Hatred.
More than that.
Well, I think Jackie Robinson
threats on their his life.
Ali out for not going to the Vietnam War also.
Mm.
So yeah, he was.
Just sitting there and thinking it over, because basically I loved Ali, but that was the one thing. Where, you know, as I got older, and you heard the backstory, because, you know, like the 60s, I wasn't aware, you know, for Christ's sakes, I was 7, you know, what do I know, you know?
Right, right.
But as I got, you know, and then a child of the 70s, you know, he was the guy, the Thursday night fights and all this, and, you know, it's float like a butterfly.
So it took you
like
to go to a museum in 2019 to realize that Muhammad Ali went through hell as a young man growing up in the South in Kentucky and just being an African American in America, period, in the 50s and 60s,
going
70s.
Not only that, but making the conviction where, well, he didn't go to war. You know, if I was there, would I really appreciate him as a draft dodger or not going, being a Muslim or whatever? And you don't know the backstory. You know the idea of the backstory. You're in the museum now.
Right.
Here's the backstory. 70 yards of it.
Millions of people know that story without going to that museum, though.
Mm.
And I mean, most of them are probably African Americans, I would think. I don't know the numbers, but I'm just telling you, I'm glad you went to the museum.
Yeah.
And saw with your own eyes, but millions of Americans already know, you know.
But I think for a lot of
people, that museum
and
know that.
I think
for
a lot of people, though, you do have to see it. I don't think people necessarily appreciate the Holocaust until they go to a museum or a camp or something. I think these things, like what Ali did or the Holocaust, they're stories. Slavery, like unless you go to a plantation and educate yourself, I think for a lot of people, we're disconnected. We live our own life. They're just some vague story out
and
there.
And you hear the story. So in my mind, should Ali not serving in the war taint my adulation for him?
Right.
And that when in that section, you know, they told the story. And that's when he walked in. He goes, are you done? No, I'm going to be here another couple of minutes. I want to read a little bit more about this. That's cool. And then I said, no, absolutely not. During that time period, with all the injustice against African-Americans, you want me to go to war?
I got news for you, my friend. Those injustices are still happening right now in the hour that we sit here in this chairs on this mic. There's not much change, Joe. I mean, it's still what Ali went through back then is still happening now. It's just more disguised or more, you know.
But
I don't even know if it's even just being disguised anymore.
But I think my generation.
He's the same generation, right?
How old are you?
I'm 54.
All right, 54. Okay,
you guys are the same generation.
Yes, we're the same generation.
I think as a white person, growing up in a time where you
where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Long Island.
Okay, you're New York.
So
okay.
You grow up where your parents had that racism, your grandparents had that racism. You were taught to think differently than that, and I do think differently than that.
Okay,
where I judge the person on the person. You know, and I for racist, if you're cool, I don't have, I'm not, it's stupid to me. He thinks sometimes I'm a racist. I'm not.
No, I've called you flat out bigot. Sometimes you are. I did it last show.
Yeah.
And Pip agreed. Well, I call it like I see it.
But racism is stupid to judge a person that you don't, you know.
Are there any famous white people that have dodged the war that we know of? I'm just curious.
Bill Clinton. Donald Trump.
Okay.
Two famous white people that dodged. I mean, you know, Clinton studied in England, and Trump fucking made up shit that Donald Trump, and he doesn't have a problem with
and
Donald
neither
Trump
one,
at all.
And neither one of those two guys we just mentioned, our presidents, will ever catch the heat that a Muhammad Ali caught for what he did. You know what I'm saying?
They
won't even be judged.
I don't see how veterans can look up to Donald Trump at all.
I think in the case of Ali, during that period of time, there was, you know, the country was much more racist, and the
country's still plenty racist.
The way, but I mean,
not
it was,
as racist.
I mean,
not as overt.
It was legal to be racist, and you know, and especially down in that area, you know, you're going through a period where, you know, if you're a bigoted white person, where the hell does he get off?
But, you
not
know,
going to war.
I think but, if, I you think know, if the internet I, didn't exist, I probably would agree that I probably would sit here. If the internet didn't exist, I would probably say there's no racism. I'm a stand-up comedian. I travel around the country. I'm in front of white people every night performing. I'm hugging them at the shows. They're telling me how great I am. But because of the internet, now I know there's racism. I mean, the internet, I've seen it with my own eyes.
But you know what's interesting?
Hold on.
I want to get to that. But what's interesting, though, is you had Muhammad Ali under this scrutiny where you did not know how you were unclear with it until you went to the Man's Museum and you saw his struggle. But it could have gone the other way where you go, no, he shouldn't have fucking done that. But you've never held Donald Trump to that same scrutiny, which is kind of interesting. It was the same war,
but there wasn't bigotry against Donald Trump.
Right, which makes it worse. At least Muhammad Ali, whether you agree with it or don't agree with it, was standing on principle. You may disagree with it, but he was standing on principle. Donald Trump was just a coward. Donald Trump, you know, just used his money and influence. Like
I wouldn't,
a lot
say,
of
I wouldn't even use the word coward. Just say privilege.
I would say privilege too.
Coward. Well, no, but there was a time I think
because when you're born a millionaire,
no, but that's different.
Do you want to go to war?
No, but see, that's the. It used to be looked at. I don't know who I was here talking about this, but it used to be looked at with white people where if you were born of privilege, that you felt it was your duty because you have. So
well, some Kennedy's goats. Thank you.
That's the perfect Kennedy's example.
Or even the football player who lost his life. What's his name?
Tillman.
Yeah. He had money. He went. To, you know.
Well, I don't look at it like I look. Well,
he had a pro career,
like
but he felt
Kennedy, like the Kennedy's like, well, we have so much. It's our duty to go.
Yeah.
So Donald Trump had it all, and he was a flat out coward, and he's not held to the same scrutiny that a Muhammad Ali. And one guy's doing it on principle, and another guy's doing it because he can.
Well, John McCain didn't come from a broke family either, right?
No, and he went.
Yeah,
but there was a tradition of military service in that family.
Yes, that's true.
That was a military family. But Donald Trump has never. We all kind of laugh at it. Ha ha ha. He got out of it. Or maybe he did have a whatever the fuck he is, which he can't even remember which he had, which he joked about, you know, having sex with all these loose women.
Well, how do veterans have. How do veterans put up with him dogging John McCain? How do they allow
that?
They
do, and I don't understand it.
How do they allow that?
I don't understand it. But it's just interesting, Joe. It's just interesting. And you're not the only one who. So I'm not pointing you. You're just the one on this show. But it is interesting how you were conflicted about how to feel about Ali's decision this whole time.
Right.
But you never had that conflict when it came to Donald Trump, who you like.
Yeah, but the thing about that is that you Trump was not a celebrity during that era. Muhammad Ali was. And was outspoken during that, not removed where we're talking about it, 40 years later, but during that time when Trump was not a public figure. Ali was a public figure
at the end of the 70s, beginning of the 80s. But so it's around that time period.
It was during 65. Oh, Christ,
no,
on the
it wasn't
seesaw.
65.
It was not during the 70s.
He had already won his Olympic medal, which was 68.
No, he won. It was. I think it was the 60s.
It was the 60s.
What, he won in 64?
He started in 64.
But this was
he won the Olympics, I think, in 64.
This was going back into late. Got back into boxing, I believe, in early 70s. So during that, Trump was just a kid, not a celebrity or whatever. Ali was. He was a lightning rod. Trump is not.
I'm not saying that you should have had an opinion then. I'm saying it's just interesting now that as a grown man, you were still conflicted about how to feel about Ali's decision, but you were never conflicted about how to feel about Trump's decision. That's all I'm saying.
Well, African Americans and are always going to be more marginalized than a Caucasian person, no matter what it is. Just period. This is the way America is.
Not Wakanda.
This is the way it is, man. I mean, I have a friend of mine. We both know him. I won't mention his name on the radio because he might not want me to. Who got some shit about not being dressed well enough at the comedy club.
White comics dress like shit all the time,
and that was his point. I'm talking about Coleman, by the way. I'll just say Coleman. I won't say his last name. Okay.
Oh, really?
So Coleman goes into a club.
Really?
And he Coleman dresses pretty decent, And the owner gave him shit about his wardrobe. And you're like, but my feature act is wearing jeans and a t-shirt.
Right.
Coleman
always looks put together.
Yeah, that's the same thing I'm saying.
And the funny thing,
as an African American, you're always going to get more marginalized by people than the white people. I mean, that's just the way it is, man. It's fucked up, but it's true. It's just the way it is.
I believe that. Minorities in general, whether it be whatever the minority is, it's always going to be.
I mean, the number one shoplifters in America, by the way, are middle-aged white women.
Well, that's because the Koreans have their eyes on you. You can't get away
with it. Nobody's watching them, though, is what I'm saying,
right,
man.
Right.
Nobody's watching the middle-aged white woman who gets out of her Mercedes and walks into a department store.
There's also a lot more middle-aged white women than there are African Americans.
They're not watching her. They're not watching them, but they will watch me when I walk into Macy's. And I'm going in there to buy something with my Macy's card, is what I'm saying. But I'm going to get followed by the security guard. Meanwhile, Becky from,
you should go to Sears. I don't think they can even afford security anymore. You can do what you want.
I hate Sears, man. Sears, I don't think Sears has a men's department, do it.
I do a joke about Sears. I go in there to buy a shirt, and I even ask the audience, they got Sears around here? They went out of business. Just my point. I got the last Sears that's in business. First of all, you walk like the fucking Twilight Zone in there. Nobody's in there. And the woman goes to me, I need your phone number. And I go, for what? Sears reward points. I go, lady, Sears reward points now is like a room upgrade in the Titanic.
There's not a lot of Sears left.
There's nothing, but there's nobody in there. Just lawn tractors and shirts.
The Heritage Foundation. Holy shit, we got some right wing shit here tonight, don't we?
I think the last Sears is in Kentucky. No, I'm just kidding.
Heritage Foundation. Ooh, Joe's going to the right wing blogosphere.
You asshole! It's on the link on the show prep.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
You sent this to me.
I didn't know it was from the Heritage Foundation. I went down some right-wing rabbit hole tonight.
That's funny.
But was there another point you wanted to make, or should I move on?
About Ali?
Yeah.
Hey, one of the most incredible Americans ever to walk the planet.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yep.
I am the greatest.
He was.
And not just a boxer.
No, he's a great man. That was the takeaway from the museum.
And that was
what a great man he was.
The theater that America gave him when he passed. I mean, it was held on national television.
Isn't it amazing how hated uppity black guy to national treasure? It's amazing what can happen in a lifetime.
He died. He became a national treasure.
He was a national treasure.
And, he almost got the same funeral John McCain got without the estate.
Also, you don't realize you walk up to them. The thing it's big, it's three levels. You walk in.
He was a Muslim, by the way, too. Got that national treasure. A Muslim.
He was even one of the ones that Trump liked.
Yeah,
not many of those around.
But you walk into the museum, and not knowing his full
right.
backstory. You look and go, it should be one area, and there should be a ring, gloves, and Howard Cosell. We go home.
They got that.
They do.
I am
a portion of the museum. The rest of it, you walk around, and you see all the things that he did and what amazing man he was.
It's safe to say that if he was alive and healthy and he probably would not be a big fan of Trump's. I'm going to leave that on that.
I mean, at the end, he was sick. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. I said if he's alive and healthy, he would not be happy about the policies of this administration. I can't speak for Ali. He's not here, but I'm just saying. Over his body of work, and I study his body of work. So I'm a huge fan of him outside of the ring. I just, you know, he would.
You
gotta be a happy camper.
You gotta promise yourself you're gonna go to this place. You gotta be working in town.
Right, Kevin, you'll be open for me next time I roll down.
Yeah,
light my ass up, son, with your little daggers and fruit that you put on stage. Come
Devin's
on,
dreaming
now.
Again.
Come on now.
Nobody want to follow this heat, baby.
I don't fucking follow anything. I don't give a shit. And that's how you should feel when you're headlining. You should feel that you can follow anything.
Yeah. That's true.
I mean, you gotta believe it, because sometimes you're following shit that you know is a pain in the ass to follow.
I haven't had nobody put no heat on me lately.
Well, you and I don't share the same bill anymore.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I might take you on the road with me.
Oh, God, this is like a fucking bad Rocky movie.
See, Joe, that's your fault, because you didn't put the heat on, you should put the heat on his ass so he'd be humble right now.
That's right.
But you let him off the hook.
Not about that. It is what it is. Whatever. That doesn't matter. Enough dick swinging.
Come on, Apollo. Let's go a couple of rounds. Oh, fuck.
Hell, look at you with the seventh voice. Oh, muscle tough, Joe. We're happy for you.
Remember that one movie when the white hand and the black hand shake? Like, can we do that here? And we just call it a
no, there's a stump. But I'm afraid.
<Fist bump. laughs>
All right. So, Joe, for the final time, why don't you tell our audience and Mr. Kevin Lee about the little ha-ha you had at my expense at some fucking one-nighter?
We were working in Michigan 4 years ago.
It was 4 years. How are you able to keep track of this shit?
I think 4 years. Dude,
I'm not going to argue
with
you.
Dude, it could be five. I don't know. I don't know. I'm saying four is just a general number.
4 years ago.
We're working in Michigan, and I'm middle and he's headlining. Yeah, as it should be. All right, so we get it.
And I said nothing.
This needs to change, Joe. We're gonna
he
talk.
Takes a sip of water like every good ventriloquist does while his dummy's talking.
Wow, you're funny tonight.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, so the middle, and for some reason, road MCs, when the MCs
well,
you run into
road,
on the road,
their fucking home.
But the MCs you run into on the road, they're, well. But anyway, so this guy's a kid, probably been doing comedy about 2 months, and he goes up to Davin, and he goes, you want me to bring you up? And I go, tell him he's a hack. You know, I don't like, right.
I wasn't even there for the conversation.
I thought you were.
No, you were.
I would not say that without you being there. I'm an asshole. I'm not a behind the back scumbag. Okay. You were there. I would have not upset it.
All right.
Because I'm a bully if I'm doing it. I'm an asshole. I am an asshole, but I'm not that kind of an asshole. I want you there.
All right.
I'll bust your balls in front of your face, not behind your back. So I go, tell him, you know, go
thank
up and tell him he's a hack. And we start laughing. So I go up and do my set. I sit down, get my beer. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, you're a headliner. He's entertaining the troops overseas. He's a hack. Bring him. Beer gets spit out all over. He goes, what the fuck did you tell him to say? You're a hack? Because it's a comic. I don't know what a comic knows what a fucking hack is.
He didn't know what a hack was?
No.
Oh,
or he really thought I was one. I don't know. I don't.
Was he new in the game?
He was.
Oh, so new
but
guys.
But two months. I'm not blaming the host.
But 2 months.
I'm blaming stupid over here to my right. I'm not blaming the host.
You thought he might knew that he was a hack.
You know, because you say
most guys would not say that.
Because comics bust
right?
each other around. That's fucking funny. Hey, so what's your credit, dude? You know that's the conversation funny. That's supposed to happen.
I'm thinking probably the audience don't know what a hack is either, right?
I don't know.
We're giving them too much credit.
But the MC should. Yeah.
So Joe has had this in his back pocket for the low of those many years.
Now, if I could just preface it with one more thing. I never realized how much this stuck in his craw.
It didn't really stick in my craw.
Bullshit.
No, it didn't.
Bullshit. Because
we're talking about on the radio. It's stuck in your craw.
Yeah. Okay. So
not really.
With Johnny Watson's there, now we start telling, you know, stories. It's story time. And I told him the story of Wisconsin. Dad was like, you're not going to fucking tell the story. Shut up. It's a great diner story.
Hear it on the radio all the time.
And I told the story. Johnny was laughing and stuff like that. It stuck in his craw a little bit more.
At the Caravan Comedy Club. Now, what is that, Jeff?
That's Du Hast by Rammstein, one of my favorite songs ever. It's cool. It's heavy.
It's heavy. Yeah. You think there's a bad motherfucker
because
coming
it
to the
starts.
Stage.
It starts with the synthesizer sweeps and stuff like that. Dun, 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 dun. You know, I love that. And whenever I'm asked, that's what I want to be brought up to.
Nice.
Yeah, you hear that.
What'd you come up to, Devin?
I came up to Sammy Hagar, Mas Tequila.
Which is a bitchin' tune.
It's a good tune. Kind of like a Gary Glitter feel to it.
Okay.
Come up to that song for years. Sometimes I go up to Walk This Way by Aerosmith or good Big song. City Nights by Scorpions. But anyway, so Joe has a really badass song that he's coming up to. However, that was not the song he was coming up to for the early show on Saturday. This, I will play, is what our pal Joe came up to on Saturday's early show. That, dear friends.
What the hell was that?
That's It's Raining Men by the Weather Girls.
Right.
I know that's what it was, but how'd you get that song?
Well, because I was talking to the sound guy, and since Joe had just fucking retold the story for the millionth time on Thursday, I go, you know what? So I tell the story to Dana, the sound guy. I go, here's what Joe did to me. We're going to get it back to me. It's like, oh, he's going to get mad. I go, no, I'll take full responsibility.
And you did. Man.
I said, Joe's not coming up to Rammstein tonight. And I was thinking, what could Joe come up to? Air Supply, maybe? Dancing Queen by ABBA? No, he likes it.
Yeah.
No, It's Raining Men.
Oh, my. Good.
By the Weather Girls. And Joe, what were you thinking of?
Well, first of all, I always made a joke about that song. I go, if I ever switched sides and came out of the closet, it would be to this song.
Which I did not know, which makes it even better.
No, but the thing about it is like I get up to the stage, and while that song, the beginning of it is like, I hear the beginning of it, I'm like, oh no, those assholes. I got to come up on stage. My name's being called. Like, I'm not like the day dancer at the tender trap where I want them to change the music in the fucking joke box. What am I going to do?
Sucks, man.
I come up, and here's the problem. The audience doesn't know the backstory. They don't know me. So it's not, and I can't riff about it. And I can't explain what happened. They don't know me. They could give a shit less. So I just got to go, really?
Yeah, we get it. Shut it off. Yeah,
I hope this guy is funny because his music choice sucks.
Right, exactly. So that was the other part of the trend. Not only did he play it, there's no place to set up shop and improv. Because there's no character expansion.
Because there's so much to do with this next guy's a hack. There's so much you could do with that.
I'm surprised he's able to say all that with something sticking in his craw. Yeah.
As usual, you don't know your biology, so you got your craw in the wrong place.
It's hilarious.
So at the end of the show, Joe's like, all right, who did it? I raised my hand. I go, I did. He goes, Michigan, right? I go, yeah. He goes, all right, we're cool.
I go, all right, is there books that we have to sign like Reagan and Gorbachev and fucking pass to each other? That we finally settled this.
I think that evens the score, though.
I never knew that you were pissed. I mean,
I wasn't pissed, but it was a story that you had a one-up, and there was a perfectly good opportunity to fuck with you. So then that Dana, the sound guy, goes, he goes, I almost played it on the second show, too. I go, I wouldn't have had a problem with it. That would have been fucking fine. So, now on this trip.
Let me tell you something. If it was played in the second show, I don't give a fuck if I'm just going to. I would explain the whole thing.
That's fine.
I would have riffed on it because, all right, now you got to call the moment on it. Even though it's a new war, fuck you. Call the moment with you motherfuckers in the fucking of the fucking room laughing your balls off at me.
So, Kev, I got to pretty much cut out meats, fatty foods, cheese and everything because I got all this high cholesterol. So I'm eating a lot of salads and low-fat stuff.
Watch your dressing. Dressing can be sneaky, too.
Right, that's what I'm eating, like low-fat Italian, balsamic. I'm eating all that stuff.
Good stuff, man. Right. Yeah. What type of salads are you eating, man?
Just trying to get stuff without cheese.
Are you getting green salads? Yeah. Okay, because a lot of people think they're going to die just eating iceberg lettuce, which is very unhealthy for you.
Yeah, it is. It's actually no fucking nutrition in it.
No nutrition in it. So, yeah, you got to get the kale. You got to get the kale and the dark leafy greens.
But there's no kale in this shit, I can assure you.
You need some kale, man.
But there's something about kale.
I'm not a guinea pig.
Where kale's coming from? I eat kale every day. Saying that you got to watch kale, too, because sometimes it could form crystals and stuff like that, or it doesn't digest right. Or
well, that's if you eat too much, but no human can gobble down that much.
I don't think gunpoint. I don't think so. It's fucking kale's awful.
Yeah. You gotta really. It is. I mean, you put the dressing on it, and it's gonna. Yeah. You know, sometimes you eat stuff for its nutritional value.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Kale's in the salad with other tomatoes and
I'll mix it in a smoothie. I won't just sit there and eat.
Yeah, I'll put mine in a smoothie too.
Now in the warmer weather.
Gavin? You have a blender?
Yeah, but I don't have kale in it. It's bad enough when spinach sneaks its way in.
Yeah.
You won't notice it if you put the fruit in
Fuck
something
you.
There.
Fuck you.
I make them every day, man.
Fuck you.
Oh, I make them every day. We never notice the kale in
you
them,
notice it. You just don't mind
you don't really.
It.
Fire no, up the your fruit. Buy a NutriBullet.
If you put that shit in there. I got a NutriBullet.
Put the right fruit in there, bitch. You put the right fruit in there, you won't taste it.
You throw celery in with the kale. It sweetens it up.
You don't eat the celery?
All right.
Celery's just water.
Celery's good for you, man.
I throw a tomato in it. So tomatoes, celery, and kale.
I know how to fucking make a salad.
Make a fucking smoothie.
I'm in the middle of fucking Indiana and Kentucky.
No, here, you're home now. Stupid, the damn thing is 20 feet away.
Are you trying to lose weight or are you just trying to lower the cholesterol?
Well, I mean, a
combination of both?
Combination of both.
Okay.
Because, you know, apparently I'm a fat ass.
You gained a little weight, yeah.
Since when?
Since the last time I did your show.
No.
Yeah.
No, I don't think I've gained weight since then.
Yes, you have. The last time I did your show.
Really?
I think you gained a little weight.
Okay. I don't think I have. I've been lifting weights.
Okay.
Well, that shit.
Okay. Well, could, maybe you're bulking up.
No, I'm definitely bulking up.
Are you Schwarzenegger and all this shit over here, man? I just noticed that.
I'm working hard.
On what?
I'll slow down with the Schwarzenegger. I would pick up these 10-pound dumbbells and lift them.
Look where Stupid says it's dumpling.
Shut up. Shut up.
So I'm trying to eat healthy on this trip, and Joe doesn't see a burger here he doesn't like.
That could be a problem. Yeah,
I mean, Joe wanted to eat healthy too, but
it's hard. It's easier to find burgers than healthy shit.
I gotta tell you, yeah, because basically my diet during the week consists of Cheerios in the morning. I have a little peanut butter thing on a cracker. I'll have a sandwich with the lean meat, a couple of slices of cheese, bread. That's
cheese is not good for you.
Yeah, I have it's not like a whole pile, just a couple of slices of cheese, and then I'll try to eat well. So much so that I bought chicken last night. I don't know how, you know, they said they made it that day. I had the chicken. I'm like, I can't eat chicken. I'm bored of eating chicken. I couldn't eat it. Matter of fact, I have some left over. I'm throwing it out tonight.
So Joe is scarfing down burgers, and I'm eating salads. But Wednesday night, we can't find any place after our theater show. So I did something I haven't done since high school. I ate fucking Domino's.
Wow.
Yeah, because there was nothing else open.
Right.
So, I mean, Domino's.
I'm sorry you had to do that.
Yeah, me too.
So I was kind of pissed because we didn't know it was a taco.
There's no thing that Domino's would get besides the pizza, though. You could have got the nasty wings.
Ugh. Yeah. Ugh.
I put vegetables on it.
Okay. Well, you get celery with the nasty wings.
Oh, God. Yeah, they had a Taco Bell about a quarter mile down. It's like, ah, shit. I'd rather have Taco Bell. But, yeah, Domino. We had to do Domino's.
So Friday night we have two shows. We're in Louisville. Next to the club is a Subway. So I figure, you know what? In between shows, I run over. I'll get a tuna sandwich. I won't get cheese on it. Yeah. Not going to get any extra mayo. I'll throw in a bunch of veggies. I'll get it on the whole grain wheat bread.
Spinach, yeah.
Yeah. Spinach, tomatoes, all that. Yeah, all that.
Onions lower the cholesterol, so eat onions, man.
Okay, I did not know
onions
that.
Onions low. I think you said loaded. Loaded. Maybe even fry
onions. Onions lower the cholesterol.
So they're closed. It's 9:08. 9:08. It's on a Friday night. In a major city, in a busy part of town, and you're closed. Hey, how do you fucking stay in business? I'm fucking pissed off. So I'm like, fine. There's a supermarket. I'll go next door. I'll go to the supermarket. Maybe they'll have a tuna sandwich there or something. They don't have a tuna sandwich there. They have salads. The salads look fucking nasty. The sandwiches aren't great. I'm like, fuck. All right. I'm not going to go there. All right. There's a chicken place across the parking lot. I'll go get chicken. That's fine. It's all fucking chicken figures. All they have is chicken figures.
Yeah,
ketchup.
Like it's a town full of five-year-olds. You know? But they're good. They were good. I ate there
on
Saturday.
You're not going to find healthy food. Down south on the road,
you
man.
Can't.
I was just in Greenville, South Carolina, and I was looking for healthy stuff as I was traveling back to New York. You know, I'm traveling through a lot of stuff. I didn't find anything healthy until I got to Virginia.
All right. So, fine. So, all right. I'm not going to eat at the chicken place. I'm still on my fucking quest. The show's going to start any minute now. There's a McDonald's down the block. I'll go to McDonald's. I'll get one of their fucking salads. Fine. You know, I own stock at McDonald's, but I don't eat at McDonald's. I go in there. Let me see the salad. All right, get the salad. Yeah, I'd like to order a salad. We don't have a salad. We don't have salad. What do you mean you don't have salad? It's on the board. The salad truck didn't come in. Are you fucking kidding me? There's a supermarket right around the corner. Go to the supermarket. Make a goddamn salad. You don't have fucking salad. Right, I'm fucking furious. I didn't lash into a McDonald's, but Subway got a what for during my set on multiple occasions.
Oh, yeah.
So fine. I don't get my Subway.
Lit up a Subway.
Pissed off. Joe and I found a nice restaurant. Which was in their good graces on Friday night. We'll get there.
Slow down, stupid. I'm running this. Okay.
So we had a very nice meal.
I'm sorry. I interrupt, but I'm not going to promise me you'll tell me talk about the hunt on Sunday. The Quest. Yeah,
So that's that's a good description. Fucking Moby Dick. The great white.
He
fish.
Was like Quint on Jaws.
We'll get there. So we have a very nice dinner. I got some like fajita thing. They substitute the beef for the chicken. Joe got himself some tortellini. Very happy with the meal.
It was nice. Lovely restaurants. Friday night.
At that point.
Friday night. Yeah.
Saturday, I got a salad for dinner. So again, I'm eating healthy. Joe did not get anything during the show. Went to get something afterwards. All right, Joe, where do you want to go?
Well, it was a nice restaurant. We had a pleasant time there, so I ordered something. So
we went back to the Friday night restaurant.
Yeah, the Friday night restaurant. So I Googled the restaurant. I brought up the menu. I go, yeah, I'll take a bison burger, medium rare, please. Okay, I'm at the comedy club. I'll be over in about 15 minutes, so that's fine. I get over there in 15 minutes, and they go, we ran out of the bison. I'm sorry. All right, why don't we get a cow into the mix on this? So they go to make it, and then she hands me the bill. Before they made it, I go, $18.50? I go, I wouldn't pay this in New York City. And I walked out.
Wow.
Yeah, I go, at the diner, you could get a burger. At my diner, Quorum Diner, you go in, $15. You get that. You get the, you know, they give you the coleslaw, all the, you know, fry. Everything. It's the deluxe. At $15, I'll pay it. $18 for that. I'm not paying that.
$18 for a burger.
$18.50. I'm like, I go, we're talking hamburger now. Not bison, you would have had a good argument. Oh, bison meats are rare. We got to call a guy.
He would not survive in Nassau, would he?
From what I hear.
He'd be eating the bologna sandwiches.
My buddy Adam Ferrar. Adam's working down at there, I think, in another 4 months. And I go, you need to find out with his bologna. I know a guy.
So Joe walks out of their sans burger. So then Joe figures he's a 5-year-old. So we got Joe the chicken tenders.
Not a bad place. I know. Look, I mean, they just served. We just served chicken finger. You know what? No point to argue. They were very sweet people there. You know, I'm like, all right, I'm in.
So Sunday's getaway day. It's Easter Sunday. It's getaway day. Now I still haven't got my Subway, by the way. But Subway's the perfect place to go when you're traveling home, because there's Subways everywhere. There are even in rest areas.
Station, yeah.
Yeah, you can fucking motor, eat a Subway sandwich, and go. You know, the food. I don't mind the food. I like the food. I still want the stupid tuna Subway sandwich.
Yeah.
So that is going to be where we're going to go for lunch. It's not going to cost us any time to go to a Subway.
It's not expensive either.
No, they're not. I used to like it when they get the free sandwiches with the cards before they did away with that shit. And they had the $5 footlongs. They did away with that shit. They're fucking me. Ever since they had to put up bail for Jared.
That was Jared's promotions. That's why. Did he get rid of all that shit?
Yeah, I guess. So we go. Now we're looking for Subway. Well, there's one right there. It's closed. Are you fucking kidding me? It's Easter. I don't give a shit. People got to eat. You know, when the hell did Easter become a big fucking deal? I get it, Christmas. But even Thanksgiving, nobody gives a shit about it.
It's closed
anymore.
On Easter because most people go out to restaurants eat on Easter. Most Christians do.
Yeah. They're not. Whatever. Yeah, you run a Subway restaurant, they're not going to be open.
Well, but most of them are owned by Patel's anyway. Let's fucking get in the game.
Nobody wants a Subway when they're going to go out to a brunch.
You know
at
what?
The church.
But you're by the road. There's fucking truckers.
Yeah.
Truckers are moving.
Truckers need to take your ass to church.
Right. Unless it's in a rest area, I doubt it.
Church in a rest area, that'd be a good idea.
It would be.
So we drive for a while, find another one. Closed. Drive for a while and find another one. They're open, but they don't have chairs.
They don't have chairs?
They don't have chairs. It's one of these in a gas. They usually have some chairs, a table. This one doesn't even have chairs. I go, Joe, what do you want to do? They don't... I go, what do you want to do, Joe? He's like, let's get out of here. All right, so this one's open, but they don't have chairs. We'll find another Subway. The hunt is on, like the great fucking white whale.
Yeah.
So then we find another one, and they're closed. And then we go to another one, and they're open, and they have chairs. Now, there's one girl working there. Nobody's in the fucking place.
Right.
One girl.
Empty. They're a pin drop.
Yeah, one girl working there. She's sweeping behind the counter. It's like, hold on. Well, I finished sweeping. What? You can't get back to the fucking sweeping?
right then and there, if that was me, go fuck yourself. I would have walked out. But I'm like, not my call. He wants to see if he can get his tuna. I will sit immediately.
But, I mean, listen, if it's out in front of the street where somebody, you know, in the regular restaurant where somebody could slip
right,
on it,
right.
I get it. The only one's going to slip is you, stupid. Watch where you're fucking going.
Yeah.
But I wait.
You wait.
I wait. We wait for an endless, yes.
Because we figured we could sit down. There's key things here. We could sit down. There's nobody here. one person will get served quickly as soon as she's done sweeping. And there is a possibility there could be tuna in this fucking
place. I look at the chips. There's no cholesterol. There's 65%.
It's all good in the neighborhood.
I'm going to get fucking chip. What type of bread would you like? Oh, I'll get the 7-grain wheat because that's fucking healthy.
Mm-hmm.
What would you like on it? Tuna.
Dun, dun, dun.
We don't have tuna. What do you mean you don't have tuna?
Oh, my God.
The tuna truck didn't come. They work with the salad guy.
They didn't have tuna and all of that?
No, they didn't have
Now, here's Davin's history with tuna and Subway. Ironically, the Michigan tour, we go into a set, and he was feeling awful. He had a nasty fucking cold. And so bad that we have a friend, Trucker Tom, that was at the show with us. He's a fan of the show. He's actually like a fourth mic. And he's at the show, and I go, you're witnessing something you'll never see again. He goes, what? Compassion for him on stage, because he was death warmed over. The next day, we go to Subway, and he's eating the tuna, and he goes, this tastes funny. Well, bring it back. No, that's fine. So I'm telling him, I go, you know, all they have to do is provide you with tuna. You'll eat any tuna they give you, apparently. They can't even do that.
Wow.
So the quest continues.
Okay.
We walk out of there because they don't have to. Again, if I wasn't trying to eat healthy, I would just get the meatball sub and call it a fucking
day.
Right,
but you're trying to eat healthy.
Yeah, because me, I'm Subway Club. Make me a Subway Club, foot long, bag of chips, soda. I'm good. But, you know.
This guy's trying to save his life.
Yeah, okay.
We're now entering our third state looking for a Subway, by the way.
Third state. What state is this?
Pennsylvania.
We are now entering Pennsylvania. Three states have not been able to get their shit together when it comes to Subway. We have been looking for over 2 hours.
Kentucky, Ohio, and now it's seeing what Pennsylvania has to offer.
Right.
So we find another Subway in a gas station type thing, closed.
Wow.
Keep on driving.
On Sunday.
Find another one. Gas station, Subway. All right, let me get it. We can't find the fucking gas station. I'm hunting around for this fucking thing.
Well, I saw where it was, but we couldn't find the exit.
Right, we're
in a fucking clover leaf. Who the fuck knows
how
to get down there? Yeah.
Even the first one was hard to get to.
You must be cranky as hell right now.
Oh,
I was not pleased. There was a lot of hate going on in my head. I'm not going
to
lie.
I was willing to find a supermarket and just buy tuna mayonnaise and make them a fucking sandwich.
And that's the difference between you and Subway, because they were not. So you're a pal. They don't know how to fucking do business.
Yes, sir.
So we couldn't find that one. So now we drive more. And it's been like 2 hours. And here's the thing. For Subway, you don't expect. Chick-fil-A, you know, they're closed on Sundays, and they hate gay people. You know those two things about Chick-fil-A, so you're making your fucking...
They're straight up with you. They're not going to waste your time.
Exactly.
We don't like gay people, and we don't like... We're off on Sunday.
Exactly. So you're not hunting around for a Chick-fil-A on a Sunday.
Yeah.
So we come to another one, and it's closed. And I'm like, fuck it. We're going to we'll just go to Arby's. And then she goes, oh, there's a Chinese buffet. And then we like fucking got voted.
By
the
way,
Chinese
Arby's was closed.
Oh, was it?
It was closed. So
you knew about a Chinese buffet?
Yeah.
We went to the Chinese buffet.
And let me tell you something. It was nice.
Three states, Kevin. Three fucking states.
Three states and you couldn't find a freaking... Unbelievable. You should call it a Subway company.
And Chinese buffet was okay. Wasn't that good of a buffet? The food wasn't that good.
You need to call the head office of Subway, man.
Dude, after like 2 hours.
Hey, I'm saying sitting home. Back then, I would have eaten anything that they put out.
Yeah, I mean, it was fine. It was fine, but so.
Wow.
Yeah.
The Subway hunt.
It was pretty upsetting.
Well, you need to find other things to eat other than Subway.
If
I had so many fucking salads.
Right.
You know, and I didn't want turkey. I'm kind of done. I mean, I'll eat turkey when I'm at home, but I don't want their processed garbagey turkey.
Yeah, let me tell you something. Even like a roast chicken from the store. Like I said, I brought the chicken home last night, and I'm like, I don't like chicken for right now.
I
don't
want to go to Subway now.
Let me tell you
good
something.
Good luck finding one.
If I was able to get out early today, I would have gone to the Subway in town. I would have got a tuna hero and brought it.
That's right. I had tuna today. Oh, listen to this shit. It continued at home today.
Really?
I'm like, all right, fine. I'll just, you know what? I have salad. We have greens.
Right.
I'm not going to put mayo on the tuna. I'll just have a can, put some Italian dressing, throw some tomatoes. The lettuce is fucking turning. All right, fine. I'll eat it on rye bread. You know, rye bread, you know.
Why can't you run into town and get more salad?
Because I'm home. I plan on eating now. I got shit to do.
Right.
I'll go get some rye bread. Start making my sandwich. Fucking sandwich is moldy. Fuck it. I guess I'm eating.
The rye bread's moldy?
Yeah. I guess I'm eating on a fucking onion pocket then. I can't even win at home.
Rye bread molds quickly because it's really good for you. It's not that fake processed shit.
Well, I was going to eat it, but instead I did not.
The shelf life is not that good. Yeah.
Apparently not, Kevin.
That's because it's good for you. Most stuff that's good for you, the shelf life is not good.
Yeah, well, it sucks.
You know, cut over an avocado and go take a piss and come back, it's the color of an African.
Okay.
It turned to the Hulk, too.
It's the African American Hulk.
I saw something on the internet on Facebook. Somebody tell you if you get moldy bread, put like celery in the bag and let it sit for a week. And then I'm like, that's pretty clever. The part of why the fuck would I do that?
Yeah. Just go buy another fucking loaf of bread.
It's too much. You'll be fine.
How much is a loaf of bread?
You know? I know. Yeah,
you can go buy $5 celery to save a $2 bag of bread.
No sense. All right, we'll come back. We'll do some stories, some current events. On the break, we got G. Lottie and Melons featuring Dianey with Sleepless Nights.
G. Lottie and Melons? That sounds like a porn.